Stifel Nicolaus. I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
Jason in the House.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I am a bit fired up today, so we got a lot to talk about and a lot to discuss because there's a lot happening in the world. Of course, we have the news. We got big weighty items, and of course, we got the stupid because there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. There is never a lack of stupid in this universe, and today is no exception. You don't have to look very far to find the stupid. But, you know, people make mistakes, people have fun, but then there's just, you know, stupid stuff and sad stuff and all that above. But, yeah, we're going to get after that. But the reason I'm fired up is because there's a couple issues that I really want to talk to about today. And I don't have a special guest. It's just me today. And we're going to talk through some key things, things that are in the news, and the news is happening and changing fast. I'm recording this podcast a couple days before it actually airs, so inevitably, things are going to change. I have no doubt about that. But it is fun to talk about them in real time, and there's a lot happening. And there's some big weighty issues that will be here for a long, long time. And I want to kick things off by talking about America 250. Now, it's not just a celebration talk here. What I want to talk about is it is truly amazing that a country has thrived and prospered and created more prosperity than any other country on the face of the planet over the last 250 years. And if you really sit back and sort of digest all the different moments in our history where we could have gone off the rails, where we could have gone in a different direction, where we could have actually blown it, everything from the Civil War to World War One to World War Two to, you know, there's so many different ways. Nuclear bombs, there's all kinds of things that could have totally disrupted us. But there are things that are on the attack now. And so, first and foremost, it is time to tip our hat. It is time to wave the flag. It is time to celebrate our history. And certainly President Trump is going to put on a party for this nation like we've never seen before. Now, I'm old enough to remember back in 50 years ago. 50 years ago. I was a little kid. Okay? 58? Soon to have a birthday. In 1976, we had a big celebration in this country. On our 200th anniversary, right? 1976 as opposed to 1776. And the country was abuzz in patriotism. People were wearing the flag. There were patches. There were like patches you would put on your shirts or your sweatshirts or stuff like that. There were just all kinds of celebration that as, you know, essentially an 8-year-old, I just thought, oh, this is really cool. But now that I'm a bit older and I'm able to consume more, I've really started to recognize what a miracle our country is, that it has got a divine destiny and a divine inspiration that made it happen. And that when our founders came together, there was no certainty that it would last and withstand the test of time. But as we did that, now we face unparalleled challenges. And so what I want to talk about are those challenges that are facing us ahead. And so why should you keep listening to this podcast? Because I want to keep talking about the challenges that face us in the future. Because 250 years from now, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, things are going to be markedly different than they are today. And in my lifetime, in our existence as an American people, my guess is there's some things we never foreshadowed that are going to happen. You know, if it's kind of fun to talk to somebody who, I try not to think of myself as old, have been around the block before, shall we say. People that are like in their 90s. I remember my wife's grandmother. She lived to be 100. She was born in 1899, and she passed away in the year 2000. And to hear her talk about all the different changes she saw, from the first airplane to moving pictures to the telephone. I mean, it's truly amazing to see how the world had changed. And then even my parents and my wife's parents, you know, they got to see some things with mobile telephones and iWatches. My father-in-law was enamored with his iWatch. Just thought that was the coolest thing, right? Sort of right out of Star Trek and some of these other shows that were out there. So the technological advancements were truly compelling and so different than where we thought we were going. But I'm also scared that a lot of these advancements and a lot of these challenges, while they can make life good and they make life better, they can also make life awful. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk a little bit about some of those other things that are out there. And before I get into the depth of it, what I really want to do is talk about the stupid. So let's pause for a moment and highlight the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. And we're starting with the Olympics on this one, going to NBC News. NBC's got the rights to the Olympics. Some of the comments coming out of these people, whew, just been out of control. Don't love your country, don't represent the United States, okay? It's that simple. You don't love the United States, stop representing us. You don't need to wear the red, white, and blue. All right, this is the headline coming out of Italy. Norwegian biathlete admits to cheating on his girlfriend in post-win interview. Dude, you just gone out, you won the bronze medal in the biathlon, the 20-kilometer biathlon, and says his ex, he's hoping that his ex can still love me. Ooh, maybe there's a time and a place to be bringing this up. Probably not when you're winning your bronze medal at the Olympics. Maybe a little bit of a guilty conscience there, but oh my goodness. That's a little stupid. All right, now going to the Associated Press, going to the NBA. Lakers' Jackson Hayes has been suspended one game for pushing the Wizards mascot G-Wiz. Call the peak. Come on, you're playing a basketball game. It's entertainment. You got a mascot you don't like? You got to shove him? He received a one-game suspension. By the way, you get your salary. These guys make an absurd amount of money, right? They take all the games you play, divide it up. So you get your big bad salary over here. If you have a one-game suspension without pay, guess what? That's one whatever. How many games they play? 80-something games? You just lost that much money. You don't not only do you not get to play the game, you don't get the money for that game. So it is painful. Los Angeles Lakers center Jackson Hayes received a one-game suspension on Wednesday for pushing the Washington Wizards mascot before a game. What was he doing? Before the game, the mascot was that much up in your grill? I haven't seen the video, but that's just stupid. Have some discipline, brother. That's what you got to be able to do. All right, now we're going to the New York Post. Roaches, rats, and cat poop. Well, that caught my eye. That's just the beginning of the headline. The rest of the headline says how New York City singles are getting savage revenge on their exes on Valentine's Day. Oh, my goodness. You gotta be kidding me. Love may be in the air for this Valentine's Day, but across New York City and beyond, so is revenge. Fed up with ghosters, cheaters, and situationships. I don't know what that is, but I can guess. They that went nowhere fast. Some scorned singles are swapping roses for roaches, candlelight dinners for spiritual cleanses, and sweet nothings for some seriously savage payback. Woo! If you're that whipped up over your ex, take a deep breath. Go get a Pop-Tart. Or get some chocolate donuts. Have them smile, take a deep breath, and then go out on the rest of the world. There are billions of people. You can find somebody else. But you don't need to go get some roaches or some other things and have revenge. You're a better human being. That is the downright stupidest thing to do. But some people are doing it, at least in New York City.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonial compensated for their time.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. After my husband died, the last thing I wanted to think about was money. Ethos made it affordable to get life insurance. Signing up was fast and 100% online. I knew that I could pay our mortgage and have food in the fridge. I could focus on my kids. No one ever tells you how much you're going to depend on that policy. I am so grateful we had coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Paid for by government. The 1986 to 2021 United States Silver Eagle. The first ever U.S. silver dollar minted in 99.9% pure silver and is the best-selling coin in the world. These original and historic silver dollars have ceased production forever. They will never be minted again. For a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck silver dollars are being released to the public. You can own a full pound of original U.S. silver dollar coins featuring Lady Liberty and the Heraldic Eagle, never to be struck again, guaranteed. Call now to secure original United States Silver Eagles by the pound, the first U.S. silver dollars ever to be struck in 99.9% pure silver. Plus, receive a free bonus, an American Collector's Pack valued at over $40 and free shipping with every order. Call 1-800-560-6468 now to secure your full pound bag of United States Silver Eagle coins before they are gone. That's 1-800-560-6468.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On April 9, 1959, NASA named the first group of American astronauts, selected from a list of 110 candidates. In just 2 years, on May 5, 1961, Alan Shepard would become the first American astronaut in a suborbital flight.
Which of these men will be first to orbit the Earth, I cannot tell you. He won't know himself until the day of the flight. From your right, Malcolm S. Carpenter, Leroy G. Cooper, John H. Glenn, Virgil I. Grissom, Walter M. Shearer, Alan B. Shepard, Donald K. Slayton. These, ladies and gentlemen, are the nation's Mercury astronauts.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
An 8-year-old from the UK whose dreams to become a firefighter came true makes today's Dean's List. Elliot lives with a rare genetic condition that affects only a few children worldwide and causes neurological damage over time. He's nonverbal, but through other ways, he has let his family know how much he loves the world of firefighting. His face lights up whenever he sees anything that has to do with being a firefighter. So with the help of Make-A-Wish Foundation and the Derbyshire Fire and Rescue, Elliot got to be a firefighter for a day. He was able to meet all of the first responders, got a tour of the station, rode on the fire engine, and held a water hose, which was his favorite part. The joy on his face and the little happy dances he did throughout the day conveyed all of his enthusiasm. The Derbyshire Fire and Rescue Team say it was a privilege to make Elliot's wish come true, and seeing his strength, bravery, resilience firsthand was an inspiration to everyone. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. Exercise could be as effective as medication at reducing symptoms of depression. That's according to the latest research by the Cochrane Collaboration, which finds exercise can improve neurotransmitter function, such as serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins, essentially mirroring some of the effects of antidepressants. The review included an evaluation of 73 randomized controlled trials, including nearly 5,000 people with depression, many of whom also tried antidepressant medications. The researchers concluding that exercise was as effective as pharmacological treatments or psychological therapies. The lead author of the review says the findings suggest exercise appears to be a safe option for helping with depression, but also notes this suggests exercise works well for some people, but not for everyone, and finds approaches that individuals are willing and able to maintain is important. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
So, time now to get into some of the weighty issues, right? We got it, the 250th anniversary, as I was saying, just before we did the stupid. Good time to celebrate the success of America. Why did we succeed? Why were we so successful where others were not successful? If you think about that, really, we were fundamentally different in that we put the power in the people. We didn't put it into the monarch. We didn't put it into anything other than leaving it in the people's hands. But that's constantly under assault. There are those in this country, and you've heard me say this before, who I think want death, destruction, chaos, and mayhem in the United States. They don't like our form of government. What they want in this country is to have power and control. And so they say, oh, the other side, remember, you know, those conservatives, those radical people who believe in freedom and liberty and life, things like that, they're the radical ones. They're the fascists. They're the Nazis. They're the ones that are, no, that's all show. Those are red herrings. You can come up with lots of different words, but that is all projection, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to scare you, and they are trying to intimidate you into not speaking up, not talking. And if they can do that, then they can implement their vision, which is control, more government. I mean, how many times have you heard the left, the Democrats, the progressives say, you know, look at Zohran Mamdani. Oh, we're just one tax increase away from prosperity. That's not the future of the United States of America. You know, every time we have a taxing decision in this country, it's a decision about whether or not to pull money out of somebody's pocket and give it to somebody else. Whereas a conservative, somebody who believes in limited government, believes you get to control your destiny. You get to, through the fruits of your labor, make the effort and the consequences, and sometimes they're bad and sometimes they're good. But that idea of prosperity and working to contribute to the overall good, but at the same time be able to have an income so that you can prosper and prevail, that gets lost in a lot of people. If you look at the history, I'm reading right now a great book, Stephen Ambrose, and it's about the Golden Spike. It's how this nation came together and built the railroad. And there were literally hundreds of thousands of people that connected the East to the West, which culminated in Promontory Point in Utah. And for those of us from Utah, pretty proud of the fact that the nation came together in Utah. And if you picture in your mind, you probably see where these two trains came together, the tracks came together, and they're holding it up, and there's laid which was the Golden Spike. Now, that was a big concerted effort. It actually was going, and one of the people, as I've read this book, nothing like it in all the world. One of the key drivers to that was Abraham Lincoln. Most people didn't realize that. But he had the vision for it. And you had people who believed in the railroads and in commerce and all those types of things that decided that they could help drive the country together through a lot of hard work. And that would ultimately create more prosperity, more wealth, more trade within our borders of our nation. And it did. And we've reaped the benefits of that for a long period of time. But those driving principles of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, of freedom, those are things that in modern day we have people like Charlie Kirk talk about, right? Charlie Kirk was really interesting on so many levels. At a young age, young man, and I'm not going to make the whole podcast about Charlie, but he really exemplified what I think the founders believed in, and that is more dialogue, more debate. When you have more dialogue, more debate, then you start to understand each other, and even though you may have different visions of where you're going, you hope that ultimately the debate will lead to a conclusion that leads to a better republic. And we are a republic. I'll come back to that. We are a republic. And in order to do so, his philosophy was, if we don't do this, then we're going to have war. We're going to have conflict. We're going to physically have conflict. Well, obviously, somebody lashed out because they didn't like that message. They didn't like that conflict. They assassinated him. And it was brutal. I was there. I saw it. There were 3,000 people that witnessed it. That saw him. They were there to listen to him. It was really interesting. What I want to draw attention to for the many things, he's obviously wearing he would famously wear this white shirt with the black letters that said freedom. And he would challenge anybody to kind of prove him wrong. You know, he initially started by saying, you know, government sucks and too much government is wrong. Prove me wrong. And, he would start, he'd make some comments. He invited everybody to come, even his biggest detractors. If you were a detractor of Charlie Kirk, you were invited to have the microphone. And he would give you ample time to make your case. And then he would refute it. Sometimes he would agree. Sometimes he'd find the common ground. Other times he just would really disagree. And sometimes, particularly things like religion and other things, he'd say, all right, well, we just disagree. Here's my case. You made your case. Let everybody else decide for themselves. And that's the core of it. Decide for yourself. Which brings me back to this idea of us being a republic. See, in this nation of ours, you truly do get the opportunity to elect somebody to be your representative to deal with all the weightiness of what's happening. It happens at the state level. It happens at your local level. And it certainly happens at the national level. I was listening to Justice Scalia, and Justice Scalia made a point. He said, you know, when you talk about the Constitution, people say, well, what's unique? What drives the Constitution? And then he would go on and say something like, most people would point to the First Amendment, maybe the Second Amendment, basically the Bill of Rights. And he said, no, it's deeper than that. It's more important than that. It's the fact that the people are in control, that the executive branch and the legislative branch were not created, my words, not his, were not created for a glide path for ease, convenience, and speed. They were meant to purposely put more dialogue and more discussion on the table in order to get to a just conclusion, that no one person in the system from any of the three branches could strong arm their way to get everything that they wanted. Now, when it's your person in charge, you think, oh, that's great. They need more power. But then when somebody else is in charge, you're like, put the brakes on. They have too much power. But that's why we have a republic. And it's hard and it's difficult. You don't create 535 people, 100 in the Senate, 435 in the House, have an election every 24 months if you wanted an easiest glide path in order to achieve what we wanted to achieve. But there are those that would snooker you and have you believe that, oh no, we got to change this, we got to change that, we got to alter this, that we need fair boundaries. We're dealing with this in Utah. Well, it's a republic that's best set up that way. Even our state constitution says that. That's another topic. But this republic of ours has proven worthy. It has overcome the challenge. Somehow, some way, we are still the greatest country on the face of the planet, and we do overcome our challenges. I'm Jason Chaffetz. Stay right with us. We're going to be right back after this message.
personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Heart disease is the number one cause of death for women, claiming more lives than all cancers combined. This February, during Heart Month, Shasta Regional Medical Center encourages you to listen to your heart. Heart attack symptoms in women aren't always dramatic. They can be subtle: shortness of breath, nausea, unusual fatigue, or pain in the jaw or back. If something feels off, don't wait. At Shasta Regional Medical Center, the only accredited chest pain center in our community, we're here for you and your heart. Your health matters. Your heart matters. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This is Jason in the house.
Some of our biggest challenges are ahead of us. In no particular order. Although, I'm going to tackle this one first, because I do think it's perhaps, I just wrote an op-ed for FoxNews.com. You can check it out on my X feed, Jason in the house. Check it out on my Facebook, Jason in the house. All that, if you want to read it, I would encourage you to look at it. It's a good thing, I think, to share around and remind people that artificial intelligence is amazing. It is technologically amazing. It's not just Google, but better. I think a lot of people in the normal America, regular America, look at Grok or OpenAI or ChatGPT or whatever it might be, and they look at it and they try to use it and they think, wow, that's just Google, but better. It's not, okay? You can use this, and I heard this great speech. It was at the World Economic Forum. My apologies for not remembering this gentleman's name, although I'm going to look it up as I'm talking here, because it wasn't just about his last name is Harari. And if you look it up from the World Economic Forum, it was really good. So I had learned a long time ago. I read a book once. It was Sam Walton, guy who created, founded Walmart. And in the book, he said, I got all my best ideas from someone else. And that's true for me, too. And that's the value of reading, listening, you know, just engaging yourself in a lifelong process of learning. I'm not saying I've perfected this by no means. I do a lot of wasteful things with my time. In fact, I love that song. I'm getting off track here. But I love that song, A Wasted Time, by Keith Urban. It's such a great song. But nevertheless, I listen to this his comments, and it's true. AI is not simply a tool. And the example that was used was a knife can be a tool to cut lettuce. Knife can be also a tool to cut your throat, right? Sorry to be so graphic, but you could do a lot of different things with this tool. But it is a tool. AI is not a tool. AI goes beyond being a tool because it can think. And it kind of blows people's minds. It's sort of to the point of taking all of, it's getting to the point, and it's not there yet. All of human intelligence, everything that is written, meshing it together and being able to make decisions and wordsmith it in a fashion that is far faster than any human can ever get it done. And in consequence, what it's going to do is it's going to disrupt our ability in every aspect of our life to be human. And I think that's one of the questions that was posed. And one part of the question for us is, like, what does it mean to be human? And how far are we going to allow AI to inject itself into our lives? I meet sometimes with people in the economic community, you know, people that are investing in science and technology, and they're venture capitalists. And they will often talk about, and Elon Musk has talked about, what is life going to be like in a post-labor economy? What is a post-labor economy? What in the world are they talking about? I think what we're going to see is that AI can be an incredibly valuable tool. Think of medicine, right? That's where most people go. How do we solve these diseases? How do we diagnose them swifter? I talked to somebody who got a hip replacement. They strapped them in, got him in position. Then the machine came and made the first few slices into that human before the doctor then came in and did the rest of the surgery. But it was literally a computer, a robot, if you will, that did the first few slices. I think we're going to see that more and more. You know, Elon Musk is telling people, don't go into medicine because you're going to be irrelevant. That is crazy to me. But it's also where technology is going, and the precision and the accuracy and the collective wisdom that can be brought to bear. That is but one aspect. I think there's a lot of people who believe that vehicles and transport will be one of the most radically changed. I think our grandkids are going to come around and say, hey, grandpa, hey, grandma, tell me about what it was like when you used to drive your own cars. Because that ain't going to happen very long. I've talked before about, I got an F-150, but I also have a Tesla. Love that Tesla. It's amazing. I can go from my house to the airport, which is about a 35-minute drive. I just type in SLC, Salt Lake City, and literally from my garage, you know, I put my pedal down to put the brake on, then I hit self-drive, and it goes. And as long as I'm paying a little bit of attention, I never have to touch the steering wheel, the accelerator, or the brake. It does it all for me, and it's amazing. It drives better than I do. And when I come home, do the same thing. I push the garage door opener, and it backs into my garage precisely where it's supposed to be without hitting anything. Does anybody believe that we're going to be driving cars in the future? No. A lot of people believe we won't even own cars. It's too big of an expense. You'll summon a car. It will come get you. It will take you from point A to point B. You have Junior who's at soccer practice, and you need him picked up. The car will show up and drive you back to the house. And that will be far less expensive and safer, by the way. Imagine how safe driving is if there's just self-driving vehicles going. Aviation. People are going to have a hard time thinking there's no pilot up there and I'm up in the air. Okay, we're going to have a mechanic up in the air. But in many ways, those planes fly themselves already. But imagine the autonomous vehicles that will be out there. I saw a presentation from an air taxi that will come pick you up in your cul-de-sac or at your school or at some place where there's not telephone lines. And you can get in and it'll take you from point A to point B. The example that was used in Utah, and you can imagine whether you're in Arkansas or Florida or wherever you're at, where if you wanted to go to a game in a big city, let's pretend you're out in Orlando, but you really want to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football game. That air taxi will come pick you up, deliver you, set you down, go to the game, come back, and do so for about $100. That's pretty good, as opposed to having to, and it's electric, it's autonomous, and you can get like 6 or 8 people in it. It's unbelievable what it's going to be like. Truckers. Are there going to be any truckers with truck drivers? No. And yet we've had it all over the news. So we can go on and on and on, but it really creates this ethical dilemma. When you displace so many people in the labor force, Amazon recently laid off tens of thousands of employees, UPS, United Postal Service, you would think they're growing and thriving, right? How many of you get packages at your home? They're shedding employees. They're not growing employees. And I think it's going to be, in 2028, one of the biggest issues out there on the presidential election scene. That those of us that are conservative, that believe in limited government, are going to be in an interesting situation. Do we have more protectionism? Do we protect? What are the values? What are we protecting? I think AI is going to take on its own relationships, and people will have physical relationships. What happens when people want to marry their bot, their robot? I mean, it's going to create some really wild things. Immigration. One of the examples that was used is in law. We allow corporations to acquire other things. We allow corporations to sue. We allow corporations to do this, that, and the other. Well, what about AI robots? Can they have those same abilities? And people say, no, that's absurd. Okay, well, let's say your company XYZ. Why does the company have all those rights? They do. The company can do things, right? We welcome them into our communities. And so it's really fascinating. The more your mind kind of spins, I guess what I'm trying to say is we're going to celebrate our 250th anniversary, and we really got to think through AI, entity, and what it means to be a human, and what are we going to do for work. There's satisfaction in work. There's income in work. There's all kinds of things. But if every industry is displaced and you're no longer the smartest, one other example that was used in this talk is we as humans have long understood that a cheetah is faster than us, that cars can go faster than us, that an elephant is bigger and stronger than us. But we have the ability to talk, to communicate, to string words together, to build a sense of companionship and community. Well, what happens when AI can do that funnier, faster, and more precise to the way you want it? What's your need for other humans? It's pretty weird. It is really weird when you start thinking about it. So it seems impossible to others, but right now I think it's scaring a lot of people. It scares me. It should scare you.
More Jason in the House next.
Paid for by government. The 1986 to 2021 United States Silver Eagle, the first ever U.S. silver dollar minted in 99.9% pure silver and is the best-selling coin in the world. These original and historic silver dollars have ceased production forever. They will never be minted again. For a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck silver dollars are being released to the public. You can own a full pound of original U.S. silver dollar coins featuring Lady Liberty and the Heraldic Eagle. Never to be struck again, guaranteed. Call now to secure original United States Silver Eagles by the pound. The first U.S. silver dollars ever to be struck in 99.9% pure silver. Plus, receive a free bonus, an American Collector's Pack valued at over $40 and free shipping with every order. Call 1-800-560-6468 now to secure your full pound bag of United States Silver Eagle coins before they are gone. That's 1-800-560-6468.
I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage Powered Nasal Irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust number one doctor-recommended Navage. Available at CVS and Target.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Fox on Games, your insider's cheat code to gaming.
Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate is breaking away from PlayStation starting on January 22nd, landing on the Xbox Series consoles and Nintendo Switch 2. It debunks the long-running rumor that the Remake series would stay exclusive to Sony. The 2020 game praised for its retelling of the story of Cloud Strife.
This is a one-time gig. When it's done, we're done.
And his freedom-fighting friends, Avalanche.
He's my bodyguard and a soldier. Pretty cool, huh?
For the right price.
Against the megacorporation Shinra, and also by changing the ending that many gamers knew from the first 1997 version of the game. For survival game, Karn is proving to be a hit after a free trial. The Game Bakers made game is being noted for its climbing over treacherous terrain in the midst of a storm and its resource-based survival. The simulation allows you to climb anywhere on Mount Tenzin and on release, Mount Kami. Adapt your posture, effort, and balance, and if you're not careful, you will fall. Eamon Dignam, Fox News.
Fox on Tech.
Parents can now set a short time for short videos. There are changes at YouTube aimed at giving parents a better handle over what their kids watch, and that includes setting time limits for things like YouTube Shorts, the short-running and auto-scrolling videos that compete with TikToks.
Well, we talked to parents, and we heard, you know, three things. Parents want more control, they want high-quality content, and they want the sign-up process to be easier. And so that's what we really did.
Dr. Garth Graham is head of YouTube's Global Health. YouTube only grants accounts to the regular service to people 13 years old or older. Under 13 gets a YouTube Kids account. The changes now coming will make it simpler for parents to set up a supervised teen account in which they can better program restrictions on what their teens can watch. As for YouTube Shorts, parents can limit the time to zero to stop all the scrolling. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
It's Jason in the House.
One of the other things that's going to truly change is safety and security. It's going to change the way we fight wars. It's going to change the way we do fight and protect our communities. You saw that playing out with Savannah Guthrie's mother. The way they were able to actually capture imagery from the camera. Wow, I thought they destroyed that camera. No, guess not. It was there. That's why I wrote a book. It's called They're Coming For You. It was a little bit ahead of its time because so much of these algorithms and facial recognition, it's all going to be out there. Too much so. We're going to lose our ability for privacy. We're going to lose our ability for safety and security. Right now, Meta, along with, I went to Cabela's. We have a Cabela's. Cabela's is like a sporting goods store, but for real outdoorsmen, if you're into hunting, fishing, hiking, you know, all of those kinds of outdoor things, Cabela's is like, it's really good. Bass Pro Shops, same owner, same thing. They're kind of converting them over to Bass Pro Shops. But if you want to get out, ride a boat, you know, go fishing, you want to go to Cabela's. So we have one just a few miles from my house. I went in there, and they're actively promoting the new glasses from Ray-Ban. And the idea is you can put on the glasses, and then you can make a video or have artificial intelligence while you go fishing. So you pull up a fish, and the glasses will look at it and say, oh, that's a largemouth bass, you know, that kind of thing. Or, oh, it's smaller than the regulated size. You have to throw it back. You know, it does all these cool things, and it'll make a video so you can show off and show your friends how you actually caught it, but you just didn't bring it in the boat, and you actually released it back out into the water, things like that. Seems really cool, right? Except everybody's storing that. And then they're going to know everything about you. So I won't tee off on that too much, but all scary stuff. Warfare is going to change. Don't think there's going to be pilots. Don't think there's going to be, you know, how many millions of people have died in our wars? It's going to be a different type of warfare. Totally different. I won't get into that too long. So it's a scary world. I don't need to scare you to death. It's just now is the time to think these things through. And my whole prediction, my whole model here says, I really think in 2028, we're going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk about affordability. We're going to talk about safety and security. We're going to talk about foreign adversaries and what's our world like on the foreign stage. All the main weighty issues, healthcare, obviously huge, right? All those things will be there. Those are sort of the top five or so topics. They're there every year, year in and year out. But I think the one that will dominate that more than anything will be artificial intelligence, because it tackles all five of those. And it's a bit scary because we don't know where it's going and how to ultimately harness it and control it. And keep in mind, this isn't just the United States of America. This is China, Russia, and others who want to, in a very subversive way, control us, manipulate us, know us, hold us hostage, you know, do things to us. Whew. It's going to be a little scary. All right. So I've teed off on that one, but these are the big weighty issues that I see. And I really think they're imperative. The other big thing that I wanted to mention is just our overall health and safety and our personal agenda. I think we were lied to by our federal government for a long time and primarily through the Food and Drug Administration. You know, remember the old food pyramid? What a lie that was. I mean, how many times did they tell me to have all these bowls of grains and cereals and stuff? And I'm like, I would eat two bowls of cereal before I went to bed, thinking I was doing my body good. I was eating Life cereal, for goodness sake. It was Life. You know, with a vitamin D milk. Probably not the best idea. Then when you start to figure out how to actually read labels. Now, technology is going to accelerate. AI will be part of that. But just common sense about carbohydrates and other types of things. I mean, remember that show on The Office? I don't know if you watch The Office like I do, but I do. But they were going to have this fun run to fight rabies, and Michael Scott needed to carb load before he ran. So he ate this big, huge thing of spaghetti before he kind of lost that spaghetti and made him really sick. But it was pretty funny, and I just feel like our government has lied to us for so long that the other big issue out there is just going to be healthcare. How do we pay for it? How do we secure our place in life? How do we truly beat things like cancer and other nefarious diseases that loom out there that can take us? I saw this actor. He was in Dawson's Creek. I've seen him around. Can't tell you his name, but he just passed away a couple of days ago. He's like in his 40s. It's just so sad. And but there's a better, smarter way to do this. And how do we turn down the volume or the expense so that everybody worldwide can have the type of humanity, what humanity has the best offer? I want to say this in conclusion. There are still, we have billions of people upon the planet. I'd like to remind some young people who live in affluent communities, most people on the planet, it's my understanding, don't have an indoor plumbing situation where they can go to the bathroom in their own home. And that most people don't necessarily have clean water. There are still millions upon millions upon millions of people who really suspect in their ability to be able to get the basic necessity of clean water. And so we have all these advancements. I guess part of my hope along the way is that we can also collectively as a world, and it starts in our own backyard, make sure that people have access to good quality food and the basics of decent plumbing and also clean water. Somehow, some way, we got to solve clean water. I don't understand it. And, by the way, we're spending a lot of time up in space. We have not spent enough time figuring out our own oceans. How those oceans work, how to tap into them as a food source and as a water source. I mean, it covers the majority of our planet, and we haven't even mapped the floor of it yet in its totality, let alone figure out how to harvest it and drink from it and recycle it in such a way that would inure to the benefit of everyone. So those are some of the biggest challenges. So those are the big challenges. I don't want to scare everybody, but I just want you to think through, what should life be like? What should things be like for the next 250 years? I think those are the imperative things that we as a people and as a nation, and I'm just really worried more and more and more about artificial intelligence, where it goes, what it's doing, what's its proper place, and how do we put guardrails on it before it's too late? And in many ways, it is too late already. But when you're talking to that potential member of Congress or a potential state legislator or whatever, you need to ask them these questions. Because it's not an easy answer. It's really not. I want to thank you for hearing me out here. I hope you can rate this podcast. Would really appreciate that. You can also subscribe to it. We have a vast library. We have like hundreds of people that we've interviewed along the way. But if you subscribe to it, it just shows up in your box once a week. We don't bug you. Just Mondays, shows up. Voila, it's there. If you could sign up for that, we would appreciate it. I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. So, again, join us again. Rate it. Review it. Subscribe to it. Look through the library. Check out the Fox News Podcast. There's a lot of good ones out there, including true crime and stuff. It's pretty cool. Trey Gowdy's is real fun. Anyway, do all that. I'm Jason Chaffetz, and this has been Jason in the House.
America, look around. Everywhere you go, prices are still high. Rates have been whipsawing markets, and the debt and spending don't exactly scream stability. If your retirement is mostly stocks and bonds, you may be taking a risk, more risk than you think. And when you're near retirement, a sharp drawdown at the wrong time can do real damage. Experts say diversifying with intention is the number one secret account that all American smart money uses to hedge against instability. Its precious metals, silver, and gold is having a spectacular bull run. Would it not make sense to get in before the rocket takes off? Monetary gold have been around since 2000, witnessing multiple economic setbacks. They have the experience to help tailor your portfolio to your needs. If you call now, they will cover up to a lifetime of your IRA fees on qualified accounts. Call Monetary Gold now at 877-NOW-GOLD. That's 877-NOW-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. That's 877-NOW-GOLD.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Secret Service and other officials are trying to understand why 21-year-old Austin Tucker Martin showed up at Mar-a-Lago early this morning with a shotgun and a gas can, and after refusing to put his weapon down, was shot to death by officers. President Trump's resort in Palm Beach, Florida, is a place he often spends weekends, but the president was not there early this morning. He was here in Washington at the White House, and the president is safe. Blizzard warnings issued for New York City, New Jersey, Boston, and other communities along the East Coast as a late winter storm bears down this afternoon.
National Weather Service officials have increased their assessment of the potential severity of this coming storm. Forecasters anticipated this weather system to be less ferocious only days earlier. Meteorologists say as much as 2 feet of snow could possibly fall. Forecasters have issued blizzard warnings for New York City, Long Island, and southern Connecticut.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart. As the midterm elections approach, GOP strategist Aaron McGuire advises Republican candidates to remain laser-focused on pocketbook issues.
Republicans need to be ramping up right now. It's tax season, friends, and what do you know? You will see a bigger tax refund. You will pay less in taxes this year because of the work Republicans have done. Energy costs are down. Groceries are down. Everyday home goods are down. These are things people need to be talking about continuously every day.
McGuire was a guest on the Salem Radio Network. Oman's foreign minister says the next round of talks between the U.S. and Iran will be Thursday in Geneva. Oman previously hosted the indirect talks on the Islamic Republic's nuclear program and facilitated the latest round in Switzerland last week. There was no comment officially from the White House, but the word is it will go forward. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. Do you feel stupid for buying a timeshare? Don't. It's not your fault. You were most likely told you could rent it, and it was a great financial investment. And the deal was available today only. If this happened to you, contact your resort or Wesley Financial Group for help today.
Call Wesley now for your free exit information kit. 800-242-3131. 800-242-3131.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
The Pentagon and the Energy Department have airlifted a small nuclear reactor from California to Utah, demonstrating the potential for the U.S. to quickly deploy nuclear power for military and civilian use. The nearly 700-mile flight transported a 5-megawatt micro-reactor without nuclear fuel. Officials say it could help meet skyrocketing demand for power from artificial intelligence and data centers, as well as for use by the military. Thousands of nurses at a major New York hospital system have approved a new contract, voting to end a strike after more than a month. The nurses' union announced the vote results yesterday. More than 4,000 of them in the privately run New York Presbyterian system have been on strike since January 12th. They are now due to start returning to work in the coming week. The union and the hospital system said they had reached a tentative deal, and it's clear sailing now. News and analysis at townhall.com. Congressman Chip Roy cautions that a global effort to promote Islam is gaining traction in the United States.
You've got a political, ideological movement that is very clearly a part of the Islamist network, right? The Muslim Brotherhood. A lot of people that are trying to push that, not just as a religious doctrine or faith, But as a political movement and ideology, we're seeing it unfold in Europe, and it's happening here in the United States.
Roy, a Texas Republican, spoke to the Salem Radio Network. Gold for the U.S. hockey men's team at the Milan-Cortina Olympics today. It was an overtime contest in which the U.S. beat Canada by a 2-1 score. Meanwhile, today is Sunday, the 22nd of February, and it's birthday time for some famous people, including Basketball Hall of Famer Julius Erving, who's 76 years old. Actress Drew Barrymore, I should say, is 51. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Comfort means to you. At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 642.
Everybody calls us.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
The Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
High-stakes talks in Geneva this week as U.S. and Iranian officials met over Iran's nuclear program while Iran closed the Strait of Hormuz for live fire drills. Russia and Ukraine also continuing U.S. brokered peace talks ahead of the war's fourth anniversary. No final deals reached, but during an appearance on The Story with Martha McCallum Tuesday, Vice President J.D. Vance said this about the talks.
It was very clear that the president has set some red lines that the Iranians are not yet willing to actually acknowledge and work through. So we're going to keep on working it. But of course, the president reserves the ability to say when he thinks that diplomacy has reached its natural end. We hope we don't get to that point. But if we do, that'll be the president's call.
With that, let's bring in our panel, co-host of The Five and Democratic strategist Jessica Tarloff, Targeted Victory Chief Communications Officer Matt Gorman, and Fox News Senior White House Correspondent Peter Ducey. Peter, at the White House, is there optimism? You know, but Witkoff and Kushner, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, had two rounds of talks, one with the Iranians and one with Russia and Ukraine in Geneva.
There's some optimism just because the talks are continuing and the Iranians are saying they'll be back in 2 weeks. But that's not, things have not progressed to the point that President Trump is telling aircraft carrier strike groups that they can stop steaming towards the Middle East. All of the pieces are being put in place for these, for the president to have options if these talks fall apart and the diplomats at any level on the U.S. side remain unconvinced that the Iranians are not trying to build a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, Jessica, how do you see it as far as this international play? I know a lot of focus is what the politics of the midterms and how that lines up domestically, but he's doing a lot of things around the world.
Absolutely, and I think it was a pretty bipartisan salute for Secretary of State Marco Rubio at the Munich Security Conference, got a standing ovation from a lot of key partners. I was certainly heartened to hear, you know, his defense of Western values and the post-World War II order, obviously calling on Europe to step up to some degree. But I think that it was like everyone breathing a bit of a sigh of relief, I guess I would say, at least on my side of the aisle, to hear that kind of communication. When it comes to the Iranian talks, though, it was interesting to hear Vice President Vance, and I was on with Martha right after him, talking about how we could get somewhere with a promise from Iran or a signed deal, I should say, not just a promise, to scale back the nuclear program versus the fact that we've heard Rubio say in the past that he also wants some caps on the missile defense program and to also make sure that they stop funding terror all over the region, which takes American lives regularly. So that contrast stuck out to me, and I'm interested to see what the product is out of this, but remain hopeful and also, you know, that we don't have to put any boots on the ground. I know the president has said he's not going to do that. But obviously, when you look at the kind of military buildup in the region, your head goes to a certain place. And it's nowhere that I think the Americans in general, no matter how you vote, want to return to.
And Matt, there's even, you know, pushback or skepticism on the Republican side about, you know, what the next step in Iran looks like. You can have this buildup of military assets, and we haven't seen this kind of buildup, not only Navy, but Air Force equipment moving to the region in a long, long time, really having covered the Pentagon all the way back to Iraq. But you can have all of that and not have a ground force, and that's really the question, even for Republicans.
Absolutely, right? I mean, I think I go back to, you know, how a few weeks ago when, you know, there was a talk of what could happen to Iran, the protests were at its peak, and, you know, for a little bit of baseball parlance, Trump took a pitch. Now, I don't think he's necessarily take more pitches, but I think if Iran pops off or he doesn't believe that they're entering these talks in good faith or he gets frustrated, I think it could create a real opening and you could see a different response than we saw a couple weeks ago. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, I think we feel far more confident how things possibly could change in Iran because we did it over last summer, right, with those targeted strikes. And I think also when you go to Ukraine, just the Europeans insist on inserting themselves. And in some ways, rightly so, you know, they need to take a leadership role. But, you know, their demands, I think, that they're putting on Zelensky make it harder for everyone to get to a deal where Iran and us could get in a room. And if we don't like what we hear, we're far more likely to just simply take matters into our own hands within reason. I think we'd feel comfortable about that. But I think you're right. I think I put far more optimism on the Iran side than the Ukraine-Russia side.
You know, Peter, I've seen and heard the president kind of concede in recent days that it's really tough in the midterms and, you know, it's historically really difficult. Are they getting to a place where they're kind of acknowledging that it's just not going to happen, even though it's a long way away?
Yes, they want. They want the word out there now for everybody like us on a podcast that might be shifting focus to the midterms to know that history is not on their side. President Trump is starting to frame that as not only do sitting presidents have a bad midterm, but he's not on the ballot. And so we heard from Susie Wiles a couple weeks ago, President Trump is going to do a lot more domestic travel to support some of these candidates. We think that he is going to try to stay as involved as he can, including just going to really safe MAGA red districts, because it seems like, depending on what poll you look at, the House and possibly even the Senate could slip away.
And last thing, Jessica, what happens when there's a partial government shutdown and no one pays attention?
My top of the list is what goes on with FEMA, because if there is some natural disaster, it is tough to get the government to work properly when it's functioning on all cylinders,
yeah.
Right? So that's really scary for people whose lives are on the lines, right? If you live in a hurricane-prone state with what we've had with these huge rains, tropical storms, et cetera. So I think that it could go on for a while because it is going to be hard to notice it in the way that you usually think about with a government shutdown. And I know that Democrats are pretty dug in. There seems to actually be a few points of compromise that even conservative Republicans say, yeah, we can get on board with the body cams, but it seems like the masks, removing the masks from ICE agents, is the real intractable piece of this. And Tom Homan has said, you know, we don't want them to get doxxed, which I totally understand, but Democrats aren't seeming like they're going to compromise on that. And I'm worried we're going to be fighting about that specifically, you know, maybe even for months at this point.
Yeah, and Matt, how do you think that turns around? I mean, do Republicans then say, listen, we've negotiated on this. We think it's extreme. ICE has been funded through 2029. So what exactly is happening here?
Exactly. And it goes back to the fact that I was really surprised Democrats took the two-week deal Thune gave them a couple weeks ago. I mean, look, 3 weeks ago, this issue was red hot in a way that national stories in Washington tend not to reach normal people. And by taking 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks is an eternity. And, you know, it's really dulled, I think, the impact of the story. And you're right. It's not going to be noticed in the same way. You're right. ICE is totally funded. The FAA is not included in the shutdown. So you're not going to worry about air traffic controllers right now. Jessica makes a good point about TSA contractors. So, you know, are there some effects when people start going on spring break in another month or two? Maybe. But you're right. I mean, and I will say this too, you know, body cameras are in many ways some of the best, you know, most conservative reforms in law enforcement and in a generation, because we finally have gone from a place where being told by the legacy media how an interaction between a criminal possibly and law enforcement happened to seeing it on camera. And so that's something we welcome. But you're right, masks, you know, putting these ICE officers at risk, we're not going to do. So this could be intractable for a while until normal people feel the effects.
We'll be back with more of my all-star panel right after this.
More of the Fred Fair Show coming up.
I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage-powered nasal irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust number one doctor-recommended Navage, available at Walmart and Walgreens.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. After my husband died, the last thing I wanted to think about was money. Ethos made it affordable to get life insurance. Signing up was fast and 100% online. I knew that I could pay our mortgage and have food in the fridge. I could focus on my kids. No one ever tells you how much you're going to depend on that policy. I am so grateful we had coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Paid for by government. The 1986 to 2021 United States Silver Eagle, the first ever U.S. silver dollar minted in 99.9% pure silver and is the best-selling coin in the world. These original and historic silver dollars have ceased production forever. They will never be minted again. For a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck silver dollars are being released to the public. You can own a full pound of original U.S. silver dollar coins featuring Lady Liberty and the Heraldic Eagle. Never to be struck again, guaranteed. Call now to secure original United States Silver Eagles by the pound. The first U.S. silver dollars ever to be struck in 99.9% pure silver. Plus, receive a free bonus, an American Collector's Pack, valued at over $40, and free shipping with every order. Call 1-800-560-6468 now to secure your full pound bag of United States Silver Eagle coins before they are gone. That's 1-800-560-6468.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with host Johnny Knoxville, who I joined on set in Vancouver for Fox's reboot series, Fear Factor, House of Fear.
I want to start with you hosting this show because it's so perfect.
It does work because, you know, my previous day job.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came into this, I thought maybe I'm going to be agitating the contestants more to rile them up, but I found myself trying to support them more.
The Face Your Fears reboot has 14 contestants competing for $200,000 and living in one house.
A lot of people are carrying things over that happened in the house into the challenges.
What do you tell the contestants? How do you coach them in terms of overcoming their fears? How do you help them?
It's like when I started coaching my son's baseball team when they're little. They didn't even know how to throw. And at that point, I did not know how to tell them how to throw because it's just something I did. It wasn't great advice. I'm like, just do it.
Ashley DeVorkin, Fox News.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. For more than 10 days, a manhunt for the person responsible for killing an Ohio dentist and his wife gripped the community, and now the woman's ex-husband has been arrested and charged with murder. Police say 39-year-old Monique Tepe and her husband, 37-year-old Spencer Tepe, were shot sometime between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. December 30th in the upstairs of their home in Columbus. Their two kids and Golden Doodle were unharmed. Michael David McKee, a 39-year-old doctor from Chicago, and Monique's ex-husband was arrested over the weekend. The two were married for about 2 years before divorcing in 2017. Almost a week after the Tepes were killed, police released surveillance video showing a person of interest walking down an alley near the couple's home. Columbus investigators say they tracked a vehicle that went to the couple's neighborhood and then Illinois and identified McKee as the owner of the car. Police have yet to identify a motive for the murders. The murders came a month for the Tepes' five-year anniversary. There's more on the story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Gore Vidal is best known as an American novelist and known as one of the most prominent liberal public intellectuals of the 20th century. Here is Vidal in the early 60s on the political state of art in the U.S.
You're born into a society and you are shaped by it, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. Each of us is born into a prison of received opinion, of superstition, and of prejudices. Now, one of the functions of art is to try and define the prison. A, the artist must know he's in it, and many of them don't, and those are the bad artists. They just take it for granted. This is the way things are. They don't know that there are worlds, as Shakespeare said, there is a world elsewhere. They don't see anything past these bars. The prison is going to break you eventually, but you can at least get a look out, and it's the look out that is art.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Welcome back to the All-Star Panel. We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
There was a little bit of progress made, but we're still very far apart on some issues.
Look at it.
There is no room for negotiations. Saying we must definitely reach this certain agreement, that is foolish.
A lot of talk about negotiations, but a lot of movement of U.S. military assets into the Middle East. The headlines on the possible war with Iran. Times of Israel, U.S.-Iran war could be imminent, take weeks. Wall Street Journal, Iran is getting ready for war with the U.S. Axios, Trump moves closer to a major war with Iran. On Axios, it says that a U.S. military operation in Iran would likely be a massive weeks-long campaign that would look more like full-fledged war than last month's pinpoint operation in Venezuela, sources say. Sources noted it would likely be a joint U.S.-Israeli campaign that's much broader in scope and more existential for the regime than the Israeli-led 12-day war last June, which the U.S. eventually joined. Let's start there with the panel. Fox News contributor Ben Domenech, host of the Big Ben podcast. Fox News radio political analyst Josh Krashauer and Leslie Marshall, Fox News contributor. Ben, we keep on getting these headlines. Our reporting suggests that, you know, there is not a lot of hope on these negotiations, but the president, every time he talks about it, says there is still time for Iran to turn around.
Well, I think that there's a lot of hope going on there, hopium potentially, when it comes to the interactions that we have with the regime. They seem to be very dug in, at least according to the experts that I speak to. And I think that the fact that we've got, you know, virtually a third of the U.S. Navy, either already there or gunning their way, is an indication of how close we are to something very significant happening here. My concern for the administration, as it has been for a while now, is that I'm not sure that the president has done the work, and his allies within the world and within this perspective on Iran have done the work to convince the American people that this is something that is in their interest. Indeed, that's what polling indicates. And I think that that's going to be a very risky thing for him to do, given the unique nature of the coalition he built, which was not in small part built on opposition to Middle East wars.
That's a fair point. I mean, where there hasn't been a major speech about Iran, obviously he's coming up on the State of the Union address. And U.S. Senator Mark Warner on the Intel Committee said there are disagreements in Europe that's causing more problems. Take a listen.
Our ability to really put pressure on the regime, and the regime is awful,
is really going to be undercut by the fact that our Europeans who have diplomatic relations with Iran, I'm not sure they're going to be fully there because of their uncertainty about the president's overall foreign policy approach. You know, the idea that that he is going to launch a war with just Israel at our side is not in the best interest of the United States at this point.
Leslie.
Well, in addition to Senator Warner taking my talking points there, because it's not in the best interest of the American people. We're not looking at 12 days like we saw with Israel and Iran. And when we look at just what happened with the strikes in 2025, you know, we look at hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are going to be hurt. You have to look at the casualties, and that's human life. Now, let's look at a different cost, economics, right? We haven't had the Strait of Hormuz shut since 1980. And so everybody says, look, this looks like imminent war, not just a few weeks, especially if it's just the United States and Israel.
So, Reuters, satellite images show Iran repairing and fortifying sites amid U.S. tensions, showing that Iran recently built a concrete shield over a new facility at a sensitive military site covered in soil, advanced work at a location reportedly bombed by Israel in 2024. Essentially, they're doing work. And as you look at the U.S. naval assets to Iran, supporters of this action, Josh, say, the Iranian regime has never been this weak, and they've never been at this state. And that is the impetus for what they believe is a possible regime change move.
They've never been this weak. They've also never been this extreme. I mean, you would think that they would come to the bargaining table, make concessions over their nuclear development, ballistic missiles, the big ask for the White House for them to give up the production of missiles. They don't seem to be offering much of anything other than public relations, and that's what's frustrating the White House. I think President Trump would love to cut some kind of deal, as he has with other American enemies or rivals, but the Iranians really haven't given an inch. And I think the White House, to Ben's point, would be well served to kind of declare whether the motivation is in response to Iranian buildup of nuclear development, in response to the ballistic missiles, or in response to what he originally posted after their regime massacred tens of thousands of their own civilians, where the president said, help is on the way. That was what it kind of raised the stakes in terms of the military action.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to hear some of this in the State of the Union address, but everything that's being previewed by the administration and the president himself is about the U.S. economy. Take a listen.
People are going to see and watch the State of the Union. We're going to be talking about the economy. We have energy way down. Gasoline is now breaking $2 a gallon in many places.
Meanwhile, the president is making life harder and less affordable with tariff taxes on working families and small businesses, imposing increased bureaucracy on states, lower job creation than any year since Trump's first term.
A slimming down governor of Illinois saying that they're going to fight on the economy.
Rested and ready to serve. I think that one of the things that we're going to hear from the president obviously is going to be taking a victory lap on things that the White House feels he's been underappreciated for. But I also think that it's very important for him to reset expectations that relates to domestic affairs, and particularly the fact that people, I believe, who have been drifting away from his coalition, who voted for him most recently, feel that he is focused so much on the world as opposed to local things, as opposed to what's happening here at home. I don't think that that's always a fair suggestion, but I do think that it's one that the president needs to battle, and he should lean into that.
I want to get into the story that really stinks, and that is the Potomac River. This is the D.C. Water CEO responding to the president's Truth Social about this.
As to the tweet, as far as I'm seeing it right now, we have not at this point in time sat down with EPA and said we need this much money. If they think that we can do something differently, we would love to hear that. Right now, they have said you're doing everything the correct way.
David Gaddis, the CEO, was a consultant for Flint, Michigan's water system.
Yeah, that's an interesting hiring choice, you think? I have to say, this is a local story that actually, I think, should have more legs nationally than it currently does. We are talking about one of the biggest spills, if not the biggest spill, in American history. We have not seen the kind of coverage that this deserves to receive. And a lot of this, I happen to think, is because of the partisanship involved here. There is not a single official responsible for this who is not someone who Democrats have elected or supported. And I think that the simple fact of the matter is they need to be solving this problem as quickly as possible. Westmore likes to talk about getting stuff done. Get this done. Get the Francis Scott Key Bridge done. Stop delaying. Stop, you know, hemming and hawing, and stop blaming other people for your problems. Either deal with it or call for help.
Remember the oil spill and the Gulf? It was all about get it done, stop it. And I think that's where we are.
Well, I would have to say, when you say get it done, it is not the state of Maryland or the governor of Maryland's job to do it. This falls under federal jurisdiction.
That is not true.
This falls under
D.C. Water and Sewer
and
Maryland.
And also the EPA, which, by the way, no one from the EPA went to any of the legislative hearings about this and how to repair this. So this doesn't need to be
federal
or state. The president's calling in FEMA a federal organization, which, by the way, I believe Republicans wanted to get rid of.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. We will fight this again.
We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1974. Hank Aaron breaks Babe Ruth's record.
Delivering.
There is a contradiction when the executive branch is both investigatory and the subject of investigation. It is these events that forced the House, by a vote of 410-4, to set in motion this impeachment inquiry.
Greatness comes not when things go always good for you, but the greatness comes and you're really tested when you take some knocks, some disappointments.
I, Gerald R. Ford, President of the United States, have granted, and by these presents do grant, a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. Fox News Books has boasted a host of bestsellers. Now, Fox News Books enters the world of podcasting. This season, the Fox News Books podcast presents The Miracles Among Us. For its first season, Fox News Books will present this special podcast brought to you by the author, Fox News senior medical analyst, Dr. Mark Siegel. The Miracles Among Us on the Fox News Books podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom. The ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Most experts and pundits thought President Harry Truman would be soundly defeated by Thomas Dewey. On November 2nd, 1948, Truman had the last laugh.
Then Mr. Captain Barnes and Mr. Hackness were reporting the situation as it then developed. And Mr. Captain Barnes was saying, well, the president is a million votes ahead. Truman will be defeated. And to the sorrow of myself and those who were listening,
tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A rescue dog named Eeyore from Florida, who helped locate a missing grandma, makes today's Dean's List. A distraught man called the sheriff's office because his wife had not come home. She was out walking their grand dog that belonged to their son. Deputy Devin Mahler arrived on the scene to help with the search. She got a description of the woman and Eeyore and went out to look. All of a sudden, Eeyore showed up and walked toward Devin's patrol car. She asked the dog where her mama was, and Eeyore understood the question. He led her across the yard, past a house, and onto a golf course where the woman was lying on the ground having a medical emergency. Deputy Miller says Eeyore guided her there the whole way, and the elderly woman says the dog wouldn't leave her side and kept coming back, knowing he had to get help. Thankfully, Eeyore's grandma is on the mend, while Eeyore is now a celebrity in the community. Janice Dean, Fox News.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
We now return to the Brett Baer Show.
We will help Gaza. We will straighten it out. We will make it successful. We will make it peaceful. And we will do things like that in other spots. These are the most powerful people in the world, the richest people in the world through their countries, and they have made a tremendous commitment.
President Trump, at that meeting tonight, we talked with one of the officials attending the president's Board of Peace meeting at the White House. Joining us is Her Excellency Reem Al-Hashmi, United Arab Emirates Minister of State for International Cooperation. Your Excellency, thank you for being here. The Board of Peace members pledging $7 billion combined toward Gaza relief. What is your takeaway from the meeting and the way forward?
Brett, there was a real sense of optimism in the room. The Board of Peace is an effort to try to do things differently, to solve conflicts and crises that have been going on for decades. The gathering that President Trump referred to was indeed a very strong one, and there was a real sense of practicality, of pragmatism. Instead of talking about problems, we want to find ways, even if they're different ways, to try to solve them. And it was quite exciting to actually be part of something so historic.
You know, you talk about the problems, and there are problems. There is skepticism about, from the Israeli side, that Hamas is actually going to give up its arms and demilitarize. From the outside, that Israel is going to stop its attacks on inside Gaza, you know, in defense, but they are definitely still attacking, threatening, according to the UK foreign minister, the ceasefire. How do you see it? You talk about optimism.
Well, we're in a very different place today than we were even a year ago. And so it is important, despite the challenges, to also look at the points of progress. There are things that have been happening that have been good. The humanitarian situation has begun to improve. We are having more trucks going in with support, more than we did before. We have the hostages having been returned. And these are elements that we should celebrate, but also push ourselves to do better and to do more as well. And really what's important is that we don't just accept the status quo. We keep pushing each other and pushing ourselves for a really dignified solution for the Arab-Israeli conflict to ensure that the people in Gaza also have the type of life that they frankly deserve to have.
Yeah. This is a major general in charge of the International Stabilization Force, the commander of that, talking about what may be needed in the days ahead. Take a listen.
In the short term, we plan to deploy to the Rafah sector first, in addition to the training of police. Midterm objective is to continue to expand sector by sector, all moving to our long-term 12,000 police and 20,000 ISF soldiers.
Were there specifics of countries volunteering some of that force? How does that come together in the days ahead?
Yes, so there were certain countries who wanted to put forces forward. You have the NCAG, the National Committee for the Administration of Gaza, that will be focused also on ensuring that there are police officers that help govern the streets and help take care of law and order. The United Arab Emirates pledged $1.2 billion to this effort to make sure that we have early recovery, humanitarian work that continues. I don't know if you know, Brett, but half of all of the humanitarian aid that goes into Gaza actually comes from the United Arab Emirates. So we want to continue this trajectory of supporting the Palestinian people, but also ensuring that we bring together a coalition of countries that are willing to really put forward pragmatic and practical plans. And this effort is really one that couldn't have happened if President Trump didn't put it forward. It's different to what we've been doing in the past. It's not an alternative to the United Nations. It's actually a framework and a mechanism that does bring different players to the table to try to do things that have traditionally been locked up and been unable to solve through.
Yeah, and the UN Security Council has put a resolution welcoming the Board of Peace. What do you say to people who say it's ironic that the inaugural Board of Peace meeting comes as the U.S. military is really putting a lot of assets in the Middle East and we could be just days away from war with Iran? Do you see that? Do you believe that we're heading to war? And what do you say to the people who say it's ironic about this juxtaposition?
Look, you know, what's ironic is to just stay talking about the problems without actually trying to do something about it. That's actually quite sad, and it lets everybody else down, and it's a real defeatist attitude. We should keep trying to push forward different and new ways to solve these problems. I really hope to God that there is no war in my region. We've had many wars so far, and we're really hopeful that a dialogue will come into place. But what happened was truly momentous, because we got countries from around the world who wanted to join this new mechanism to try and put forward a solution-driven output, a practical approach. And it was actually really not just well thought out, but it was actually a very good and strong attempt at doing things differently. Otherwise, Brett, a couple of months from now, we'll talk about the same problem without any path forward. And this is an attempt for a path forward.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate the inside look at the Board of Peace meeting. Your Excellency will follow every step of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We'll be back with more right after this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Paid for by government. The 1986 to 2021 United States Silver Eagle, the first ever U.S. silver dollar minted in 99.9% pure silver and is the best-selling coin in the world. These original and historic silver dollars have ceased production forever. They will never be minted again. For a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck silver dollars are being released to the public. You can own a full pound of original U.S. silver dollar coins featuring Lady Liberty and the Heraldic Eagle. Never to be struck again, guaranteed. Call now to secure original United States Silver Eagles by the pound. The first U.S. silver dollars ever to be struck in 99.9% pure silver. Plus, receive a free bonus, an American collector's pack valued at over $40 and free shipping with every order. Call 1-800-560-6468 now to secure your full pound bag of United States Silver Eagle coins before they are gone. That's 1-800-560-6468.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
In the summer of 1985, Southern California wasn't just hot. It was terrifying. A shadow stalked the suburbs. They called him the Night Stalker.
So far, six communities have been the target of the so-called Night Stalker.
Fox Nation Investigates presents Beware the Night Stalker.
You admit to being evil, Richard?
We are all evil in some form or another, are we not?
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Get those W-2s ready. Tax season has arrived. It's the Fox Business Tax Tips. Fox News Radio's Ginny Cassola and Hillary Barsky are joined by the hosts of the Fox Business Network to provide you with the latest tips, tricks, and updates on filing your taxes. From deadlines to tax law changes to the latest deductions, we'll cover it all to make sure you keep that hard-earned money where it belongs, in your pocket. Listen and follow the Fox Business Tax Tips at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhan.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Mia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
We now return to the Brett Baer Show. For my new book coming out in June ahead of the 250th anniversary of the country called The Case for America, I traveled the country asking people one simple question. What makes this country worth it? I recently sat down with Douglas Brinkley. He's a historian and professor over at Rice University to get his take on our national identity. Here's our full conversation.
So this is part of a project I've been working on for a while. It's The Case for America. It's, it's a bunch of interviews, but it's also tapping into all the stuff I've done with the six biographies. And but it's business people, it's historians like yourself, it's a number of different leaders, Condé Rice and others, talking about, if you're making the case for America as we get ready for this 250th, you know, what that feels like, looks like.
So great.
The founders obviously often spoke of the virtue, of virtue being the key component of free society. In particular, they spoke of civic virtue. Why is that an idea that's significant, do you think, for America?
Whenever I teach presidential history, I like to begin with George Washington at 14 years old, where he actually recorded in his handwriting 110 ideas of what civility should be. And it's important, not just because he did this when he was 14 and he was building on philosophy and Jesuit thinking, actually. But it's important because he kept it with him his whole life. He lived by this civility. And it showed how Washington was able to pull the Continental Army together. It tells you how he was able to become first president because he was never rude or, put offish. And he lived by this sort of code. And then there became the great debate on civic virtue.
which is part of our founding. And many of our great founders, James Madison in particular, were worried about, can we keep our democracy if we don't have civic virtue, which is basically truth and honesty. And in a democracy, people at a local level caring about following the same kind of ethical code. And there's been a deterioration of that in recent times. And so there's kind of a movement now to start teaching civics in school again, to start talking about American government, to talk about what it means to participate. And I think it's a really good thing. And I tell young people, read Washington. And then move forward from that.
And as we get to the 250th, hopefully that's a renaissance of some of that. What do you see as the primary values Americans hold over this?
You know, the big one that I've always gravitated toward was this idea of Western expansion or Americans in motion. You know, anybody who's in the U.S. has this sort of, a heritage where they came here from somewhere else, and even indigenous peoples and tribal situations moved constantly. And so there's kind of there used to be called the Frederick Jackson Turner frontier ethic that we just kept moving westward. And by the time we hit California and that was developed, we started with the Spanish American War, Philippines and Hawaii, and then, you know, we keep going. And in fact, when John F. Kennedy sold the moonshot in a bipartisan way, you know, he would constantly frame it as a new frontier that where we, you know, it was the journey on the seas and then across the continent, and now we're going into the stars, you know, aiming for the moon and beyond. There's a kind of frenetic, motion-driven aspect to American life. And the idea is you're not married to a caste system. If you grew up in, you know, Richmond, Virginia, and you don't like it, you can move to Phoenix and change your name. Well, you can't do that in Belgium. Everybody knows you, and they're constantly looking at, you know, your chart. So there is a kind of Horatio Alger democratic ethos, which is there, and I think it's important. And obviously, what is democracy? What is liberty? And we are a nation of laws, and those become, I think, the primary things to focus on.
But in essence, that first part is about opportunity.
Yes, and even if you came over in a non-opportunity way, meaning you came over through slavery, once you got here, it was still the journey. You still had the movement here into a new place trying to define who you are. So there's really omni-Americans. There are all sorts of people here. And you know, it's a shared instinct. You know, no matter race, religion, by and large, if you travel abroad, you're in college, you go abroad, something, Americans recognize each other. There's something culturally, linguistically, energy focused that says that's an American. And sometimes we forget that kind of shared identity we have. And then the art of being okay to like your enemy, that's often hard, you know, particularly in the Civil War, or even in the fights of our politics of today. But learn that the people that disagree with you might have values, and you can have friendships. And after all, you're sending your kids to the often the same public schools, and you were teaching our children to kind of get along.
You know, as we come to this 250th, America has shown great resilience in our 250 years, and it always comes back from the brink. What lesson does that kind of teach us for current times?
That the United States was built to last. That too many people think we're on the verge of collapse. And I feel it's there, that when we get in that mode, we're not looking at all the adversities of the past. If you really study history and, you know, understand the Civil War in earnest, and when you're, and, you know, if you really look at the price our country paid in Korean War, World War One, World War Two, and, you know, what our soldiers have done around the world, and to make our lives where we can have at the dream of just air conditioning and sewage and you know, medical service. And I think we get hung up sometimes too much because of the court system on what the founders thought, but the elasticity of our Constitution and the way it's changed over a period of time, it proves that it's quite durable. And that the key thing is just to always remember that our own times aren't uniquely perilous. It can feel like every day this is the biggest crisis that ever hit, particularly in a rather new world of internet, social media. The tabloid headline can get hyped, but a lot of things are working well in the United States right now, and the ones that aren't, we got to fix.
If you were pressed to have to make the case for America, if you were pressed to have to make a case for America ahead of this 250th, how would you do?
That we were able to break the shackles of Europe when our country was founded. I would focus on the winning of the American Revolution. I would focus on the tradition of the presidency with George Washington. I think we can also be very proud in America 250, not just on politics or military affairs or statesmen's behavior, but art and culture. I mean, when you go back and read people like Ralph Waldo Emerson and Louisa May Alcott or Henry David Thoreau or Walt Whitman, or then go and read, W.E.B. Du Bois or Willa Cather, or listen to the music of Miles Davis or Chuck Berry or Hank Williams and Johnny Cash, and you could kind of feel this Americana feel. There's just a feel about the United States, the American spirit. And it manifests itself at all sorts of different times. So you can find it by just standing to the national anthem at a baseball game, but you can also read a short story, by William Faulkner and say, wow, how did a Mississippi produce a writer that good?
Last thing, is there an anecdote from history that stands out for you as a sign of America's promise?
But, I dipped into and read recently the correspondence between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, and the fact that they really disagreed on a lot. I mean, just boil it down. I mean, John Adams of Massachusetts insisted till his dying day that the Revolutionary War was triggered by the Boston Massacre. And Jefferson said, no, it was Patrick Henry in Virginia. I mean, it was big disagreement. And then in the 1800 election, which created our political parties, they just went at each other. The Federalists, of Adams versus Democrat Republicans, of Jefferson. It was brutal. But here, as old codgers, as survivors of the great meetings in the Continental Congress in Philadelphia, they started writing each other about things, and they do little barbs. But when you read them, you realize that at the end, you can heal those rifts in the end. And so I find that the fact that they both died on July 4th, at the same day of Jefferson and Adams, and later, James Monroe died that group. I always go back to those, the brilliant minds of Jefferson, Adams, Monroe, and Madison, and how they anticipated, what we would need to do to be able to have a 250th anniversary. And I can't help but thinking how Jefferson in particular would have marveled at space technology, or Adams would have been fascinated by cargo shipping and all of these things in the industrial economic sector that have provided a standard of living in the United States, that it would make them proud.
Hopefully 250 does that. Doug, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you for listening. You can get my book, The Case for America, available June 16th, wherever books are sold.
America, look around. Everywhere you go, prices are still high. Rates have been whipsawing markets, and the debt and spending don't exactly scream stability. If your retirement is mostly stocks and bonds, you may be taking a risk, more risk than you think. And when you're near retirement, a sharp drawdown at the wrong time can do real damage. Experts say diversifying with intention is the number one secret account that all American smart money uses to hedge against instability. Precious metals, silver, and gold is having a spectacular bull run. Would it not make sense to get in before the rocket takes off? Monetary gold have been around since 2000, witnessing multiple economic setbacks. They have the experience to help tailor your portfolio to your needs. If you call now, they will cover up to a lifetime of your IRA fees on qualified accounts. Call Monetary Gold now at 877-NOW-GOLD. That's 877-NOW-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. That's 877-NOW-GOLD.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.